Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Let's Talk TriDelta. Thanks for joining us. I am Mindy Tucker, TriDelta's VP of Marketing and Communications and Managing Editor of the Trident Magazine. What we are going through right now in the world is really just unprecedented. And so one of the things we're trying to do at TriDelta is bring you some of the best advice that we can bring you right now. We've launched a new series called Three for You. And we're asking some TriDelta experts to share three tips or best practices for us as we navigate this new situation. As women at work, as students, as moms, as individuals, we're all really seeking relevant, helpful advice right now. And so we are doing our best at TriDelta to bring that to you. So joining us today with some tips on virtual relationships is Allison Hillhouse. Allison is an alumna of our Beta Sigma chapter at the University of Virginia. Allison is a culture and trends researcher, and she led youth research trends at MTV for 10 years, which I think is probably fascinating to hear about in a different podcast on a different day. She's the author of the book Virtual Grandma, which was inspired by her creative mother, Gaga, and she was inspired to write this guide on how to interact with people virtually and specifically for grandmas and kids. So Allison tells the story of Gaga's adventures in FaceTime with her grandson, Charlie, to inspire others and really looking to just help others spend more virtual time together. Never has there been a better, bigger need for us to spend more virtual time together than right now. So Allison, welcome to Let's
Talk TriDelta. Thanks, Mindy. I am so excited to share some ideas with you. We've obviously been living in FaceTime and Zoom for the past couple weeks with our grandparents. So we have lots of ideas to share.
Yes, I was sharing with Allison that I've spent the last week or so trying to teach my mother how to use Zoom, and it's not going well. So. I am really, really excited to get some more tips from her today on how to bring them into the virtual world and how to help them really interact well with their grandchildren and with younger family members through this new virtual world that we're all living in. So where did the book come from? How did you start this?
All right. So I was inspired to write the book Virtual Grandma by my mother, who is known as Gaga to my three sons. She was a TriDelt at the University of Missouri as well. And she is so good at FaceTime. I was always telling other parents and grandparents about her, the way that she would communicate with my three sons over FaceTime. And they were like, I'm not that creative. I couldn't do that. So that's what got me inspired to write the book. Gaga did this great virtual cooking lesson where she taught my son Charlie how to make muffins over FaceTime. I had measured everything in advance and he was dumping the ingredients in and mixing it together and poured it into muffin tins. And they all did this with chef hats on together virtually. And when that happened, I decided to write the book because I felt like she just had these really great ideas that other people could learn from. And I then crowdsourced ideas from across the country and even Europe and got ideas from grandparents, aunts, and uncles everywhere.
I love it. I love it. I love it that she was coming up with the ideas and really kind of thinking in her own way about how to engage them and things that she likes to do with them.
Absolutely. And I think it's really helped build a relationship because she's in Missouri and we're up here in New York. And, you know, a lot of their relationship has been built over video chat. So it's been a great tool for us.
Good. All right. Now we can jump into your tips. And I know your first one is around sort of these preschooler passion points. So tell us more about that.
Great. So I think, first of all, is just thinking about what your little person is really excited about. And I'll give some examples about my sons have all been obsessed with trucks and cars. And so how can you think about ideas for your video chat that involve this passion point? So for example, my mom, one on video chat, she was always playing with toy trucks and narrating her play and just driving little trucks that she had at home around. And you can drive them around, wad up little pieces of paper and pretend they're trash and put the trash in the trash truck and then dump out the trash all while you're filming this for the kids on video chat. It's kind of like on YouTube, the unboxing videos. I don't know if you've seen those before, which are basically, you're just watching like these virtual hands play with toys and kids love them and they're enraptured. And it's not really that, you know, that well thought out or that creative, but the kids really just enjoy seeing other people play with toys. They have a very low bar. And, you know, other things like when the garbage trucks arrives in the morning, you can FaceTime with your little one as it arrives at your house and picks up the trash. And my mom used to even talk to the trash truck driver, which I guess probably you could from a 6 foot distance right now. You could create cell phone videos of construction sites in your neighborhood for your little one and then, you know, text them over to mom, and mom can, you know, then watch them and rewatch them over with your little person. So it's not just about FaceTime, but you can also create these fun little videos around the passion points.
I love that. I'm immediately thinking about cars and things like that and how my kids would have just immediately sort of latched onto that when they were little and love those kinds of things. So
absolutely. You could do things with stuffed animals. You can do dolls and tea parties. There's a lot of different toys and ideas that you can involve.
Right. And I know you talk in your second tip kind of about movement and how that can sort of help create some interesting videos.
Absolutely. So I think one of the things is although your grandkids or little ones love to see your face, they don't want to sit and stare at your face. And you really need to get up and show them something interesting and create movement in the video. And if ever, you know, it feels like the conversation is going slowly, is just get up and go do something. I have this thing I called house tours, which I think is a sorority rush term as well, where you take the, you know, the FaceTime around and hit the highlights of the home, you know, show the bedroom where the kids stay when they visit, show any of the toys that are sitting around your house, take them to the hammock outside or the car in the garage, and you can honk the horn or show them the dashboard or what's in the trunk. Like these little things in the home are very interesting to them. And talk about having props on hands, like toys or puppets or musical instruments to go to. Recently, Gaga had to cancel her trip, obviously, to come visit us. So she's been creating these little toy parades in her house for St. Patrick's Day and Easter. So she lines up tons of little small toys from my childhood that she still has because she's kind of a pack rat and she's saved all the stuff. And they're like miniatures of California raisins and like the Smurfs and E.T. and My Little Ponies. And she lines them up in a parade and they parade up to a Easter bunny statue who has got all these Easter eggs. And then she opens the Easter eggs up and there's jelly beans. And she talks about, you know, what flavors are the different jelly beans? Actually, Easter eggs are just a big thing on YouTube in general, is a lot of YouTubers put little things in Easter eggs for kids to, you know, or to unbox, and kids love watching that. So she does a good job of just incorporating props and toys and movement into the conversations.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those are really good ideas. So I know the other thing that you've thought through is the best times to use FaceTime and talk to children. And so what do you feel are the best times, especially you've got some ideas around mealtimes?
Yeah, I think the good thing about a mealtime is when you've got a fidgety little toddler, that is a time when they're sitting still. And you have kind of a lot of natural points of conversation. You have their rapt attention. They're sitting there eating. And a lot of times, I've heard this from grandparents and aunts and uncles around the country, is that kids love to feed them, you know, through the screen and put up the food to the screen. One grandparent even described it as like, hey, you can fit, you know, food through, there's a tiny magical hole in the screen and you can feed me some of your breakfast. So that's always fun to just talk about what each other's eating. We did something with my little guy when he was learning to say words like banana and apple. And my mom would quiz him on the other end, like, what fruit is this? And they would also try new foods together as he got a little bit older. Like each of them would buy, you know, we would buy a kiwi on our side and she'd have a kiwi and we'd try it together for the first time. And that was really fun. And now she's doing that with my other younger children as well.
That's really creative. And you're right. They are sort of, that's the one time they are not mobile necessarily. They're mobile in their seat, but not moving around probably. So that's a great idea with the captive child audience to do that. I know that you've come up with ideas, but what are some inspirations for other people to come up with ideas on their own as they try to think through some of this and apply it to their kids or their ages?
Sure. Well, in the book, I talk a lot about looking for inspiration on YouTube, because that is what kids are organically wanting to watch already. The unboxing videos, the Play-Doh videos, all of the stuff that happens on Ryan's Toy Review. If you in Google unboxing Easter eggs, you can see what it's like that these YouTubers just are doing stuff with their hands and creating these little scenarios that kids want to actually watch. I think it's also really important to remember that the bar is very low with little kids. And, you know, if you think I'm not that creative, just really anything that you're physically doing or doing with a toy or with food on screen, they're very interested in. And we're all quite bored right now because we're all sitting in our homes. So anything that's mundane is probably a little bit better than what we're doing just sitting by ourselves.
Right. Is there any other advice or tips you'd give grandparents in this?
Yeah. One of the things I think is useful is when you can be a virtual babysitter, is that you as a grandparent or aunt or uncle who's calling in can really help mom and dad out. So we're home all day with the kids right now, and everybody's exhausted. So we really can use the help when someone can participate in their entertainment for even just 5-10 minutes while we do the dishes or do our work email. I think that we can all definitely use some virtual babysitting right now, as our regular babysitters are not coming to our homes.
Yes, I love that idea. I may increase my inspiration to get my mom set up. She could help for 15 minutes or something just to entertain them for a while.
You can at least like take a shower, you know?
Right. No, right. It's just really hard for moms right now. We're all a little bit overloaded. So,
absolutely.
And we're all missing those trips where we were likely going to visit with family, in the spring, like our spring break got messed up, and we're looking at the prospect of a lot of summer travel being curtailed. So I think this is really helpful just in terms of thinking that through and staying connected. I want to make sure people know where they can find the book.
Yes. The book is available on Amazon, and you can also check out my website, which is virtualgrandmabook.com. And I'm donating 50% of the proceeds over the next month to coronavirus related charities.
That is amazing. That is very Delta love and kind of you. And I love hearing that. And so we're glad to support you in that effort. And I know your book is going to be helpful for so many people. So thank you for sharing with us today and sharing your ideas and sharing about the book and just your story of how it all came about.
Thank you so much.
So I want to give Allison a huge thanks from all of us. She's coming to us from New York. We wish her well and hope she stays safe up there. And I hope all of you are safe and your families are safe right now as we are in the midst of this crisis. I hope you're following all the guidelines and staying home. At TriDelta right now, we like to say the kindest thing you can do is stay home. I also want to give a shout out to all the people on the front lines, all the TriDeltas who are working in healthcare or other essential services who are still out there serving others right now. We are thinking of you and lifting you up in Delta love. TriDelta's webpage is somewhere I would recommend everybody go. We've got lots of new offerings there, not only this 3 for You series, but some other tips on staying connected to your sisters during this time. And we have a whole page on sisters helping sisters and how our foundation's really stepping up to be there for our members during this tough time. I would also love to hear from you. I know there are lots of other topics we can be talking about that you would like to hear about. Email us your favorite topics for this series at podcast@trideltaeo.org. Thanks everybody for talking TriDelta with us. Stay safe, join us next time, and bring you.